today's gospel reading for the Three Holy Hierarchs. We have this beautiful text, "You are the light of the world." Sidney said on the hill camp, "You didn't buy a lamp and put it under a bushel, you put it on a lampstand." At the end of that text, our Lord says, gives a certain warning, exhortation to us. He says that if you relax the things, the teachings that he's giving us, if you relax these teachings and teach other people, you become the least in the kingdom of heaven. But for those who do them, who do his teachings, and so teach them, you're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This emphasis on doing before we teach becomes a very common thread throughout the life and history of the Church and the Holy Fathers. Even we see it elsewhere in the Scriptures, and St. James has great exhortations to teachers and cautions about the responsibility of teaching. He warns us to be slow to speak, but quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The anger of man doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. And when we speak too quickly, when we speak before we've experienced, done ourselves what we're telling others to do, we become more irritable, more judging, more demanding, very much like the Pharisees. So we distance people from us. In the Three Holy Hierarchs, among the texts that they have that reiterate this theme, is one is from St. Gregory the Theologian in his catechumenate lectures. He says that we shouldn't speak anything. At first, he says, we shouldn't speak until we've overcome the passions. But then he realized that maybe most of us wouldn't be able to say anything at all. And so he says, well, then you can't speak until you've at least struggled against the passions, until you've really been genuinely engaged in working out these commands of Christ in your own life in such a way that you experience the challenges, the ascetic effort that goes with trying to live out Christ's words in our own life. The teaching for this reason is really very clear. It's because it's so easy to tell other people what to do in a kind of haughty and dogmatic and very authoritative way. But if we've really been striving to live that life, then we're immediately humble, because we see and experience those passions in our own life. When we act this way, our words are more tempered, more understanding, more compassionate, a little softer, a little more gentle with one another. When we don't behave this way, when we tell other people how to live the life that we ourselves have not lived, not even really struggled to live, then we become more divisive. And in the context in which His Grace alluded to in the 11th century in Constantinople, this is what was happening. We had people saying, I'm a follower of Basil, I'm a follower of Gregory, I'm a follower of John. Oh, sure, we're all Orthodox, but I follow the truest, the most pure teaching. I'm the one who really gets it right, the one who really instructs us. It's very much like the words that St. Paul gives to the Corinthians, people saying, I'm Apollos, I'm Cephas, I'm Paul, I'm of this sect, I'm of that sect. And this tendency to, even within the life of the Church, to identify ourselves with little subgroups. I'm married, I'm monastic, I'm a member of the OCA, I'm Greek Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, I'm a Romanian Orthodox, Rokor. These designations become really very divisive. This terminology of my group, my clique, rises out of the sense of not really having struggled to live the commandments of Christ. These divisions arise when we fail to be able to understand and sympathize in such a way that we can be with those who are different than us. Christ came to be with the sinners, with the tax collectors, with the harlots. Those who were most different from him. He felt, in a certain sense, perfectly comfortable being with them. He didn't have to separate himself or distinguish himself from them. Why? It's because he lived his own teachings. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. St. Paul tells us in Hebrews. And so it's this total immersion of our lives into the things that God has for our salvation, for my salvation. The focus is on what God wants of me in overcoming my passions, my wayward thoughts and distractions. And when that becomes our focus, then we have this totally different disposition and attitude toward those who are around us in the life of the church. So that unity is really what it is that's magnified, because it's not just a signing a piece of paper that we all agree to these doctrinal statements. It's a lived unity. It's the fulfillment of the prayer of our Lord when he prays to his Father that we all might be one, even as he and the Father are one. An experiential unity. To participate in the love which the Holy Trinity has had for one another from all eternity. It's to let that sacrificial love be so full manifest in our lives that the things that in the world would divide us just pass away. So the three holy hierarchs appeared to a bishop in the 11th century and said, this division stuff is nonsense. We're all united. We all speak with one voice. Sure, we have different emphases, as His Grace said, but it's different emphases of the same living good news that's given to us to transform our lives, to be lived out in the hearts and souls of each individual person. So the three holy hierarchs did that in this beautiful way, unique to each one of them, as all of the saints are unique, but not in a way that causes division. So we too have to be the ones who live out the gospel message, live out the teachings of Christ before we say anything to anyone about them. We have to at least struggle in the ascetic effort, the overcoming the passions and setting aside the wayward thoughts, so that our speech to others might be things that lift up, that build up, that strengthen. And really, right before the litany, before the Lord's Prayer, we'll have this beautiful saying that really sums up this teaching, that we glorify with one mouth and one heart. That's what we're doing here in the Divine Liturgy, but that's what we're doing daily in our lives as we think about other people, as we talk, as we read blogs and write blogs and listen to podcasts and whatever it might be. What we're striving to do is to glorify God with one voice, with one heart, with one mind. That one mind that's in Christ, who emptied himself for our sakes, became like us in every way, didn't distance himself from us. So let us live with the model example in the prayers of the three holy hierarchs who live in their own unique ways, but united in glorifying their great God and Savior, and by their prayers we too will overcome the kind of silly divisions that we employ to distance ourselves from one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.